Folks, there's probably people that have never come to this church, or this is their first time in this building. Is there anyone here for the first time? A few? Oh, there's quite a few. And you're here for Henry. Well, we want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. And Henry, we welcome you and Donna for being with us this weekend. You're honored.
She's the pretty one.
Yeah, but you're the handsome one.
Wow.
I know.
I hear that. You guys are a miracle.
Come
you know
over here
why?
And stand by me.
Because I hear this is the opening night for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I know. And you're still all here.
And you still came out?
500 people there from your church?
500 people from your church.
Wow. Wow, that's a tough competition.
That's tough competition.
Yeah, that is.
Well, I'm Henry. This is.
I'm Donna.
She's my best friend.
He's my best friend. Yeah, it's
we're
true.
Married too.
Yeah, we are married. Shoo.
Yeah, I. How many have never heard me speak ever?
Wow.
Well, that's quite a few.
Are you in for a treat?
Well,
and a challenge?
Well, being kind to me, I'm doing the best I can at my current level of ignorance. So.
Well, can I say something about that?
Sure.
I just want to make sure that you understand that he's going to say some things and you're going to go, His teaching is line upon line, precept upon precept.
Here a little, there a little.
And so draw your conclusions when it's finished.
And for all that, they didn't hear a thing.
Now.
Well, that's what the prophets said.
Well, that's what they say, but we're going to give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt here.
They're advanced believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Okay. And so the only thing I ask personally is that you stay in your seat and listen. Don't leave and go out of here mad and write books about how bad he is, okay? We've had plenty of those. Anyway. But go ahead and stay and listen, because I can guarantee you that you're going to leave changed. I guarantee that. I do. That there's going to be some kind of something that you didn't know that's going to get deep in your spirit, man, and it's going to bring forth life. Amen? Well, where are you going?
I'm undoing the top of my water bottle.
Oh, shoo, because I thought I was going to go for a book, because if he goes for a book, we're going to be here for another hour.
And don't ask me a question.
I know. I was going to say that oftentimes in conferences, we'll do a Q&A time.
I like Q&A times.
And we actually did have a show for a while on live streaming, but we're never home enough to finish it. But you ask him one question, it's going to take him an hour to finish it. So people come and go, can I ask one quick question? Well, the question isn't the problem. It's the length of the answer. That's going to be the problem.
Well.
Because what you do, and it's very awesome if you have the time for it, is he's like a painter, and he paints every, he does the outline, get you interested, and then he starts to slowly kind of do the details and the layers and all the kind of stuff. But by the time he's done, you've got a clear picture of the whole thing between Genesis and Revelation.
And if you're taking notes, you're frustrated because point number two of part A is finished at the end of the conference.
That's right.
So, well.
Well, I'm gonna leave you to it.
Are
now.
You? Okay.
Yeah. But it's really, I want to say it's a great blessing to be here. We're excited to be here. We're looking forward to lots of new friends. I already see a lot of people here I do actually know, and a whole lot I don't know. But I know one thing, we're all the family of God. So you're not a stranger anymore. You're my family.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Bye. I don't know what you want to do with that either. Donna is one of our pastors at Pleasant Valley Church. We have six pastors, and I'm senior pastor at Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia, and also I'm the president of Bean Health Global, which is a U.S. charity and worldwide ministry. So that's a lot to say. You know, I wanted to take a little time coming out of the praise and worship tonight, and I just really had some things in my heart. Is it okay if I just... not talk about hemorrhoids too soon. You know, love is a two-way street. Did you know that? Did you know love is a two-way street? And we sang a lot of songs tonight about God's love for us. But it's important that He knows that we love Him. And how do we know, or how does God know if we love Him? Because we sing real loud to Him. Because we may cry a little bit and touched emotionally about who He is. Did God say anything in the Bible about how He judges us if we love Him? Well, He does. It's in the Old Testament and the New. What God said in the Old Testament, He said that the iniquities of the fathers shall be visited to the third and fourth generation to them that hate me. That's a tough scripture. But verse 6 of chapter 20 of Exodus says, but to them that love me and keep my commandments, blessings to thousands. I like that part, thousands business, don't you? Blessings to thousands. In the New Testament, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, people don't like that because it smacks of legalism. People don't like being told what to do. Then why do you read your Bible? To be told, come on now, think with me, to be told what to do. And why do you need to be told what to do? Because you may not know everything. And you may not see your journey like God does. Do you know God knows the end from the beginning? I don't understand that, do you? But I like it that He does. In Psalm 119, it says His word is like a lamp unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. You know, I like what we did here tonight about praying for your husband, because the Bible says when one member of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And we need empathy. Folks, this thing works by love. I said, this thing works by love. It's called the law of love. Is God love? Then who should we be? Love? So when I see you walking down the street tomorrow, can I say about you, there goes love? And when somebody says something against you to your face, can I then say, there goes love? You shall know them by the love they have one for another. Find somebody next to you tonight and say, I sure need you. Goofy. Say, I sure need you, Goofy. Find somebody next to you and say, good evening, you gorgeous hunk of dust. Come on now, talk to them. Tell them. I've been taking care of God's flock for Oh, over a quarter of a century. Makes me sound like the Ancient of Days. But I've discovered something, that 80% of all disease has a common problem, and that is lack of love. It involves separation. Separation from God. Could I use the word Godhead? I like the fact that you talked to the Father tonight. That's rare these days in Christianity. Everybody's just talking to Jesus all the time. I thought the Lord came to show us the Father too. I like the fact that you talk to the Father because everything comes from Him. All good things come down from the Father of lights above, of which is no variableness of turning. So separation from the Father. You know, some people don't like God as Father because they didn't have an earthly father that loved them properly. You know, that's a big disease maker, isn't it? I mean, how is it that we're supposed to love God who is called Father, and we stumble over an earthly father that may not have represented Him properly? Let me show you something in this audience. Could I do something with you tonight? I have no idea what I'm doing. It doesn't make any difference, does it? I want to show you a disease maker. This is responsible, undealt with, for a large percentage of autoimmune diseases, certain types of leukemia, a number of cancers in particular, and certain types of syndromes. You want to have some fun with me at the same time? Learn? All right. I'm going to ask you a question. And when I ask you the question, I want you to raise your hand real high. No duck flaps. I want high fives. And I want you to keep your hand up really high, and I want you to look around. Because not to embarrass yourself or to embarrass others, but I want you to see that there's something maybe in your life that you thought you were the only person that had this issue. And you're going to be surprised. Let me predict. See how close I am. I predict that 95% of this audience will raise their hands. You want to see how close I am? You want to help me win this one, please? Thank you. Be honest. You ready for the question? You're going to be shocked. Because what you're about to see is in every audience worldwide. Regardless of culture, every church has this in the pews. You ready for this? How many of you growing up as children do not remember hearing your earthly father say to you these words, "I love you. My hand's going up with yours." Look around, please, and see how close I am to this problem. Please, please hold your hands up high. Do you think I know what I'm talking about? Thank you so very much. I also, let me see, what do we have here? About several hundred people. I also predict that in this audience of mostly believers, that there are over 400 different diseases on Christians in this room, and over 2,000 total, because some people have more than one disease. Would that surprise you? That includes your syndromes. That word syndrome was spelled S-I-N-D-R-O-M-E. Well, that's how they spell it in Afrikaans. That is the spelling for syndrome in Afrikaans, by the way. In South Africa, is S-I-N-D-R-O-M-E. I did a conference recently north of Washington, D.C. It was a three-day conference. About 500-600 people came out to the conference. And I put a table across the front. I actually have the actual pieces of paper that were on the tables marked A to Z, 26 pieces of paper. And during the three-day conference, in fact, if we come back in August, we'll do it here. We'll put a couple of tables across the front because this is an eye-opener. This has to be defeated, folks. If healing is a children's bread, we've got some moldy bread. Because the Christian, less than 5% of anyone is being healed in the Christian church of incurable diseases on a regular basis. And folks, we need more from the cross than we're getting. I said we need more from the cross than we're now getting. And I, as a believer, Henry the Believer, when I started in ministry, I was 38 before I got saved. I'm going to tell my age pretty soon. I was a preacher's kid, but I was an abused preacher's kid. That's not good when your preacher father abuses you. So he and the devil and God were all the same person. So when I got ready to leave home, I left everything. You couldn't get me in a church for 20 years for any reason as an adult. Folks, that's darkness. And you can't keep me out. It's amazing what happens. But when I began my journey to help the Father reclaim what he lost in the fall. And folks, it wasn't possible until Jesus came. Nothing was possible until Jesus was raised from the dead. And so I want to help the Father get back what he lost. And I really would hope it would happen to the church first, that God wouldn't have to save the unsaved and help them while the rest of us are dying on the vine. Huh? And I really want the Father to get back what he lost. Everything. Yeah. But when I was reading the Bible, I came across a three-letter word that burns in this man, and I hope it burns in you forever. And you never settle for less. It's in Psalm 103, verse 3. He is the Lord that forgives us of all of our iniquities and heals us of all of our diseases. That's Old Testament. I thought we had a better covenant. Then how come we're not getting all? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Why aren't we getting more healing? Do you ever wonder? Do you know how discouraging it is to pray for someone and they don't get well? Have you ever done it? I don't know how many more thousand gallons of anointing oil our elders are going to waste on Sunday morning in Christianity with such little return. Let's be honest. Are you with me? God's not the author of confusion. Either his word is true or it's not. I don't think this is a God problem. I think it's a mankind problem, and we're blaming God for it. And can you believe what you're hearing in some of these churches? That healing passed away with the apostles 2,000 years ago? No, it didn't. They did. You know, I tell people, if you're attending a church that doesn't believe in healing today, you're attending a death church. Why do you take communion for? Why do you take communion for? Why do you take the bread for? But you deny what it stands for, but you love the cup. Are you all still with me? There's something wrong with our theologies, because they're not theologies. They're, are we being filmed? Doctrines of devils. I don't dare tell God he can't heal today. You know that God's omnipresent, do you not? You know he's omnipotent. You know he's omniscient. There's another attribute of God that they took out of the dictionary. You'll have to go to your older Webster's to find it. And I guess the reason they took it out of there is because it only applies to God. Do you know what that word is? You can find it in Wikipedia. Omnificent. Omnificent. O-M-N-I-F-I-C-E-N-T. You know what the word omnificent means? Ever and all creative. Do you still believe in the gift of miracles? Do you really? Well, then God has to be omnificent. He didn't stop creating. He can create a body part any time he wants to. But do you let him? Well, let's get off that quickly. All. I cannot change that word. And it doesn't make any difference if I get the all every time. You cannot diminish the mandate. You have to go for the gold. Now, what happens when you don't get all? Come out to the workshop tomorrow and I'll tell you. I hope you come out and bring all of your friends tomorrow at 10 to 5. Please tell your friends there's a workshop on life and death going on here tomorrow. There's a workshop. And by the way, God's perfect will is not to heal you theologically. That's his mercy. That's a bonus of the cross. His perfect will theologically, church, you better listen to me, is that you don't get sick at all. Are you ready to pursue the journey of health in God? Are you? Do you know how to achieve it? You know, I read the Bible, and I read something that Moses prophesied in Psalm 90. He said, in fact, God used Moses 3,000 or so years ago to reduce man's longevity from 120 to what I'm about to quote you. Now, there are people teaching we should live to be 120. Have you seen many lately? And actually, to teach that, you're going to have to overthrow Psalm 90. Because there's not a scripture that overthrows it yet. Moses said that our longevity would be what? 70. How much is that? And then if by reason of strength, 80. How long is that? 80s. And then a little trouble comes and we fly away. When you read that prophecy, it says you should be able to live a full 80 to 90 years and not die of a disease. That's your promise. I said that's your promise. And don't say yeah, but as part of your theology. And you have to be careful of medical science these days. All they're doing is taking care of people without hope. And all their protocols of disease management are based on the fact that no one will ever defeat disease. Because everything is just disease management. Isn't it? And what's disease management? A halfway house between heaven and hell. And we've made disease management the last chapter, when in fact it should have been just the bridge. I tell pharmacists everywhere, I'm not against medications, I'm just against them being the last chapter. And I tell pharmacists all over the world, please keep these sinning saints alive a little longer that I can get them discipled in God and get them healed. Can we buy a little time to help you figure out whether the enemy has a legal right to your life? Did he use the word legal right? That's for sinners, right? No, Christians. You say, Henry Wright, are you saying that Satan can have a legal right to Christians' lives? No, I didn't say that. Paul taught it. I'm just the parrot. I didn't write the Bible, folks. If I quote you a scripture you don't like, you have to go to heaven and take it up with the author. I'm just the parrot repeating God's word. Getting back to this little list here. You know, in this church of 500-600, well, it wasn't just a church, it was people there. North of Washington, D.C. back in February. We had 26 people. Listen, this is the A sheet. These are diseases that Christians had on their body, beginning with just the letter A. It's two columns. This should not be. That's the A list. Here's the B list. On Christians. Here's the C list. Here's the D list. These pages are filled. I predicted when I walked into this church that there would be over 400 different diseases and over 2,000 total the minute I walked in, and then at the end of the 2.5 days, my team counted. This is the worksheet. I think Perry and Matt did the counting. And when we finished the counting, there were 502 different diseases. I had predicted 400, there were 502. I had predicted 2,000, there were 2,083. This should not be. What are we going to do about it? I began in ministry, not in the success of ministry, but the failure. How would you like to listen to a guy that began in failure? You want to hear a success story, don't you? No, I began in the early 80s when prayer was not working. You say, did he say prayer wasn't working? That's exactly what I said. You mean God doesn't answer prayer? No, I didn't say that. I said prayer wasn't working. You know, when I first started the ministry, I just came alive. When I got saved, folks, I really got saved. And something happened. I just believed God's word. I read it and said, amen, not yeah, but. And when I started ministering, I think I probably had 95% success. It was like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. What a powerful time. And I was having so much fun being a New Testament believer. I mean, I was casting out them critters in Jesus' name and they were leaving. I was doing cures and creative miracles in Jesus' name. I said, wow, this thing works. And about 6-7 months into that success, the bottom fell out. And I was fortunate to get 5% of anyone healed. You know how discouraging it was to pray for people now and nothing was happening? I said to God, "What? Have I done something wrong? Have you withdrew your spirit from me because I've got some sin issues that I don't know?" Well, I had 19 at that time. Sin issues, that is. You think people who help God are sinless? We're all on a journey, aren't we? So I was looking my sin list over to see what had caused the Holy Spirit to withdraw. That's all I knew to think. What did God, why wasn't, you know, God honoring my words? And in my prayer time, I told God, what is going on here? I went from here to here, and now nothing is happening. Well, a little bit. And God spoke to me. Folks, I want you to really listen to me, because this is going to set the stage for tomorrow. Then I'm going to play a little, some collage of TV interviews, and maybe come back and talk to you a little bit between now and 10, send you home. And talk to you about a few things, maybe. You know what God told me? Now, I don't know how God speaks to you. I have words for him in my mind, my consciousness, and I've learned that, you know, that's God talking to Henry. Understanding comes. And God spoke to me and said, Henry, apart from a few exceptions in the past 6 or 7 months, I haven't sent the first person to you for prayer for healing. The devil has. Now, what would you do if you heard that in your head? You'd say what I said. Are you the devil talking to me? I say, oh, God, what are you talking about? You mean the devil's going to send people to me for prayer? God said, yes, he has and he is. I said, how could that be? They're Christians. They go to church. They have Bibles. The Lord said, yeah, I know, Henry, that they're Christians and they go to church and they have Bibles, but I'm not their Lord. Satan is their Lord, and he has a legal right to my people's lives because my people gave him permission. I said, sir, all due respect, did I hear you say in my mind that Satan could have a legal right to Christians' lives? I heard just the opposite last Sunday in the church that I attend, that that's not possible. I said, God, let me tell you something. If you're God speaking to me, you better show this to me in the Bible. Because unless I can see it in the Bible that Satan can have a legal right to your people's lives, I can't believe that you're God talking to me. Because God, you're going to have to show it to me in the Bible. It wasn't long. And I found it, the teachings of Paul in 2 Timothy. You might want to look this up. It might save your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 25, and 26. Because this became the foundation of roots of disease. And what are roots of disease? Roots of disease can also be understood by reading Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, in something called the doctrines of Christ. I'll go there in just a second. Here's what Paul said. The servant of the Lord must not strive, must be gentle unto all men, patient, able to teach, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. The NIV says, bluntly, are in opposition to God. That God peradventure, that means to me, that's going to be a miracle they get this one figured out. That God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So the servant, Henry, must teach. And he must teach things that help God's people understand something. And what is it they need to understand? They need to understand something and recognize something and take responsibility for something that they need to repent for. Folks, I have to tell you something. You don't have to repent to God for things that are correct. God's never going to ask you to repent for forgiving your brother, is he? No. So obviously, Paul is talking about something in Christians' lives that is not right spiritually. And it's something that needs to be recognized so that they can repent to God. Let's go back and quote this again. That God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That they, now listen carefully, everybody's wanting God to free you. No, God wants you to get up and he wants to work with you. We're always wanting God to come and do something. No, why don't you begin to take your own life back and he'll work with you? This is your life. God's not going to live your life for you. He wants to join you in the journey. He won't override your will. Did you know that? Not going to do it. So that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth that they may recover themselves. That they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. There's that word. We don't like it, but it's there. From the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil at he, the devil's will. The NIV says to do the devil's will. Now, what Paul is saying is that, listen to me carefully. I don't set doctrine in this church. I'm just sharing my journey. Is that fair enough? But what Paul is saying is the same thing that the Lord spoke to me in my place of nothing happening and healing. He said, Henry, Satan can have a legal right to my people's lives. And there's a scripture that proves it. So what am I to do if I have some area of a Christian's life that where Jesus is not Lord? Should I ignore it? What if the disease is the fruit of that dead work? Well, let's go over to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. It's called the doctrines of Christ. There are six of them. We're supposed to have mastered these and moved on into perfection. We don't even understand them properly yet. And I have to tell you, listen, I'm a spiritual leader. I get to say what I want. Sometimes, and it's your job to be thoughtful in it. But I have to tell you, we've made everything, name it, claim it, and faith. And I'm telling you, name it and claim it, and the faith message and the healing message is not working like it should. Because there's a disconnect. And I represent understanding the disconnect. I know why people aren't being healed and why they're losing their healings. If you're interested, I can teach you what I know. Because I don't have an opinion. I just have thousands of people that are well today because of this understanding. And I don't have any power. Listen, I've come here for 2 or 3 days and coming back in August, I hear. And I promise you, I'm not a divine healer. You know why? Because I'm not divine. My name is Henry. I'm a son of God by faith. I am your brother. Your servant. May I say that to you? I don't have all the answers. I just have a little bit. And the next thing is this. I have no power. He is the power. I'm just the piece of dust he uses. And so aren't you. I'm just Henry. Hey, don't look to me. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm just going to take you to the green pastures. See, when you go over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, you got the six doctrines of Christ. I got a great teaching over here. Every pastor should have it in this city. Tell them it's over there. Come buy it. the teaching is, why is laying of hands not working like it should? Because it's not the first doctrine of Christ, it's the fourth. But we've made it number one. There are three doctrines just ahead of it that are foundational to even number four, even working properly. And I know without faith it's impossible to please God. I know that. I know what it says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I am a faith man. But there could be things that are making your faith shipwreck. Now, in the doctrines of Christ, it doesn't say it's the doctrines of the Father. It says it's the doctrines of Christ. Read it. Who is the head of the church? Who's the bishop? The Lord Jesus is the bishop of the church. He is our Lord. He's our husband-to-be. I'm going to make a good wife one day. I am, and I'm learning how to be a better wife to Jesus by practicing how to be a better husband to her. I learned a lot from you about being a wife. Well, it's true. Now, you guys are going to be a wife one day. You just get over it. Not in the carnal sense, in the mystical sense, as a helpmate to the Lord Jesus. Now, when you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, faith towards God is not the first doctrine of Christ. It's the second. What is the first one? Repentance from dead works. I can't get you free of high blood pressure if you continue to worry about everything is going to go wrong tomorrow. Because you don't know that when you're worrying, you're disobedient to God's word. You say, worry is disobedience to God's word? Or does it say that? It says, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow may never... You guys know the Bible here. Then why do you have high blood pressure? Because to know God's word is not enough. It's to be a doer of his word is the secret. I read a scripture one time, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what's roots of disease? A dead work. You know, many people will come to me for prayer, wanting to be healed. And I ask, well, what is your disease? And they tell me, and I say, well, no, I won't pray for you. What? You're supposed to. No, I'm not. I'm supposed to disciple you. I'm supposed to disciple you into a dead work that you need to recognize, because if God healed you of that disease, but that disease was the fruit of that dead work in your life and how you think and how you speak and how you act, and if God healed you of the disease that was the psychological or biological extension of that stinking thinking, or wrong way of acting, you wouldn't keep your healing anyway. Because the root hadn't been plucked. And the thing would grow right back. Things to think about. I love this little thing we did over in Washington, D.C. because of Z. It's a syndrome I wrote down called zebratitis. Have you ever heard of zebratitis? Well, it's really a joke, but I have fun with it. It's a form of OCD. There are people that are really upside down, whether a zebra is black with white stripes or white with black stripes. Let's see. Why? You guys have got a good sense of humor. You know that laughter is good for you? You know that disease flourishes in an atmosphere of sadness, sorrow, lack of joy. Yeah. One thing I wanted to tell you, and then I want to show you and finish this evening with a little collage of interviews on to give you a little bit of understanding. And then please come back tomorrow. I'll have a little more time to mess with you, stir you up. You know, some people get my book and they don't read the book. They go to the index and find the disease that they have. They read what I said about the root, and they throw the book down. How dare he say that about me? Especially what I say about colon cancer. Whoa, that's got me in some big trouble. The book, A More Excellent Way, this is the newest edition. It has a teaching DVD in the back of it. It's a big, thick book. We entered into a marketing agreement with Whitaker Publishing a couple of years ago worldwide, but we are still the publisher. Being Health is a publishing company because I refuse to be censored. And publishers will censor you in the name of commerce. And so we're going to say what we want to say for God, bless God. And so doing so, this book has become an international bestseller, even here in Canada. This book, A More Excellent Way, in Christian retailing, in fact, I've got the, I think I got this over here. It's really kind of fun because I've got the fall 2 years apart. I got the fall 2008, the fall 2009. In the fall of 2008, the book, A More Excellent Way, this is based on sales in North America. In the category of health and fitness, was number one. It was number one in September of 2010. In fact, in Christian retailing in North America, the book of Mark's Way has been in the top 10 best-selling Christian books in the category of health and fitness 37 out of the past 41 months in North America. Now, what is a pastor doing being a best-selling author in health and fitness from a spiritual standpoint? You thought it would be exercise and nutrition, didn't you? I guess there must be more to health than exercise and nutrition then. You know that exercise and nutrition hasn't even put a dent in incurable disease yet? Do you know that vitamin C will not remove anger from you? Come on now, work with me. Do you know Brussels sprouts and broccoli will not deliver you from fear? You can jog 5 miles a day and still have lust. Come on now, work with me. In fact, what the Bible says is the kingdom of God is not nutrition. It is not meat nor drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, how come nutrition has replaced righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? I think I'll go to the store and buy me some righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's on sale today. It's good for my health. They don't sell that in health food stores. And concerning exercise, it says bodily exercise profits little, but exercise in godliness profiteth much. So much for your sacred cows. I learned something about sacred cows. You either feed them or have a barbecue. I'm obviously, I'm not against nutrition. I am full gospel all the way. Thank you for noticing. So if you get the book A More Excellent Way, you're actually getting a best-selling book. In fact, it's been in the top 100 of best-selling Christian books in North America for half of the past 5 years. Top 100. At one point, it was in the top 50 for 33 straight months. I'm a best-selling author, if that's important to you. Take your pictures while you can. I was on Amazon.com the other day. I like to go to Amazon.com because they sell my book. And it's a featured book. You can go there and look at some of the pages before you buy it. and are selling it for $10 cheaper than I sell it for at this book table over here. And somebody said, well, I'll just buy my book from Amazon.com. Good, then get your ministry from them too. Call them up on the phone and say, I need some help with my allergies. So help us finance the ministry, would you? Thank you so much. By the way, I was on Amazon.com, and it changes every month, you know, because of, this is based on sales. But I saw the book A More Excellent Way was number 4 worldwide in the field of soteriology. I had to look it up, too. Even learn how to pronounce it. And Wikipedia said soteriology is a doctrines of Christianity through Jesus Christ, Christian doctrine. And the book A More Excellent Way was number 4 worldwide in Christian doctrine. I like that. So I looked to see who was up there with me this month. I found John Bevere, Beta Satan, was number 2 worldwide in Christian doctrine. I heard of him. And I looked down through here, and I found there was Confessions of St. Augustine. That was good. Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul. So I was in pretty good company, Henry was, don't you think, in the world in Christian doctrine. So these things are kind of fun. They're little perks, I think, that are good. So I just thought I'd tell you that. Just to help you think about it. Well, I'm almost out of time. May I play a little collage for you before, and we'll close with that tonight. Oh, by the way, thank you for your giving. It doesn't go to me personally. I thank you for saying that it doesn't. It goes to Being Health Canada. Every cent that you give in this in the workshop tomorrow and whenever stays in Canada to finance what we're doing in Canada. None of it goes back to America. We're incorporated in Canada. Our headquarters are in New Brunswick, Canada, and we are a legal corporation in Canada as Being Health. By the way, you may not realize this, but my extraction is Canadian. I was born in Maine. That makes me a true maniac. But my father was Canadian, and my ancestors were Canadian. In fact, when we went to Beaver Harbor and looked, we did our family tree, my ancestors were Quakers. And Elias Wright Sr. was a part of 300 families that broke with America in the 1700s and stayed loyal to the crown of England. And they settled over here in New Brunswick, and they were known as loyalists. Have you heard the word loyalist? They were known as loyalists. And my ancestor, Elias Wright Sr., was the magistrate of this community of 300 families, Quakers. If you believed in slavery, you could not live in our community. You would not allow fellowship. I read all of that in some of the archives. So, you know, I'm Scottish, it seems to be, from Scotland. From Clan MacIntyre, which eventually became the Wrights. They changed their name when they came over from Scotland and migrated to England, over to America and Pennsylvania, and they're the followers of, you know, Penn and all that rest of stuff that went there. And my ancestors were also disciples of George Fox. And boy, what a character he was. If you study George Fox and the Quakers, I don't even realize this, but the outpouring of the Holy Spirit did not begin on Azusa Street. It began with George Fox in England in the 1600s. He believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the power of God in the church today. He had some unorthodox ways of teaching it, however. He'd walk into a church and shut it down and condemn them for their apostasy. So it got him thrown in jail a few times. And I was in Lancaster at the castle where he was. And anyway, God bless you. I'm going to play a little collage, and for those of you who want to come out tomorrow, I welcome you to a great workshop. God bless you.
Part of your story, your mother had an incurable cancer. She got healed, and you found yourself a pastor trying to anoint people and bring healing, and healing wasn't happening with you. Encapsulate their story.
Wow, well, that's a lot of territory.
Yes, that's why I said encapsulate it.
Actually, my mother's story is that her mother had died of cancer shortly after giving birth to her.
I'm just born, my mother's dying. In a meeting where everyone was forgiving each other of bitterness, she came up off a stretcher, and God took fibrosarcoma cancer out of her instantly, and God healed her.
She was so sick, and at death's door, they had to literally carry her to a church service.
No hope. You know, forgiveness is a big missing link in healing of disease and prevention of disease. But I became a pastor in the early 80s, and it was going really well for a while. And then less than 5% of anyone was being healed when I prayed for them, anointed them with oil, did all the things the Bible says that we should be doing. It's pretty discouraging to pray for somebody. And so I began, and when prayer doesn't work, that is.
Right.
So I began in ministry at the level that I am today in the early 80s when prayer was not working. Boy, I don't know if anybody's been prayed for and didn't receive their healing. But it's really frustrating and discouraging to try to be a doer of the word, and it's not working. So I went to God and said, why isn't it working? I figured that God has all the answers. And he really does. And you know, there's so many answers in the Bible that give so much insight into these problems. And so I decided to ask God. And so I asked God, why aren't you healing these people? I'm doing everything you say to do. I'm anointing them with oil. I'm praying the prayer of faith. And that's not working. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, you know what, Henry? I didn't send him to you. The devil did. Oh, I said, are you the devil talking to me? Why would the enemy send people to me for prayer, for healing? And in my heart, the living God spoke to me and said, yes, but I'm not their Lord, and the enemy knows it.
So the people coming to you who thought they were Christians...
Oh, they are Christians.
Well, explain.
Oh, they're Christians, but in some areas of their life, Jesus is not Lord. They can be Christians, but it doesn't mean that they don't have fear and anxiety and stress and bitterness and resentment.
So where Jesus was not Lord, God could not heal.
Yes, because it gave the enemy a legal right to put disease on them when they were a doer of the enemy's word.
So when they
not
were
God's word.
So they were walking in sin in certain areas and not being a doer of the word, and that allowed the sickness to stay on their body and not be healed.
Well, does the word tell us that we're to forgive our brother?
Yes.
What happens when we're believers and we don't? Do you think there's a consequence for unforgiveness and bitterness?
According to the word, there is.
I think there is. And so if we have a disease on our body, that's because we want God's forgiveness for ourselves. It's kind of a selfish reason.
But what about, and I see this a lot, Henry, where people, they're good Christian people, they know they're supposed to forgive, and so they say, oh God, I forgive them. But it seems to be a head thing, and deep in their heart, every time they talk about that person, they'll remember that offense. So do you see a lot of that, where people are doing it in their head, but somewhere deep inside their soul, there's something not happening?
And we have to be very careful that we're not intellectually converted. You know, we know to do good, don't we? But it doesn't mean that we do. And besides, forgiveness is a decision of the heart, not the head, because we're obedient to God's word. I have decided that I'm going to forgive every single person for everything. Now, we can't stop being pierced. The world is filled with people that have things in their life. You know well that people don't always like us, say good things about us. But in my journey as a believer, I've come to an incredible revelation. I can't stop being tempted. I'll never stop being pierced by someone else, but I don't have to be wounded, and I don't have to serve sin. And that makes me a spiritual son of God. And really, it's a decision, isn't it?
Our last couple of moments here, what do you want people to understand about a more excellent way?
Well, first of all, God has shown us the etiology of many diseases, both psychiatric and biological. 80% of all disease has a spiritual root issue with corresponding psychological and biological manifestation. We are dedicated to bringing the kingdom of God and understanding it and what the Bible has to say, how we should think and act, and also preventing disease, because disease prevention is God's perfect will for our life. Healing is not his perfect will.
that we don't get sick as His perfect will is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We are dedicated to educating a planet in the ways of God. If we will change our ways into His ways, so that how we think, how we speak, and how we act is exactly what God intended we should be, I'm going to say something to you. Blessings are headed our way. But if we're not a doer of His word, and how we think, we speak, and we act is different, then we can expect dis-ease to come to our life, which eventually will become a diagnosed disease.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and this is fascinating. You see, there are many people that have prayed to God for miracles, and the miracle just didn't manifest. There are many that have prayed and it has manifested, but what about for those that it doesn't happen for? Then there are many that go to doctors and doctors said, we just don't have a cure for what's the matter with you. There's got to be something better. And my guest, Henry Wright, you've been researching this. Yes. It because you were a pastor and you ran into the same problems that I've just expressed. So we were talking before the break, was you know, based on the disease, what is the cause? Yes. Once you come up with the cause, let's use an exact example. And then what you do, I mean, what does someone do once they find out the cause? But use an exact example.
Well, first of all, if we know there's a specific spiritual root issue, you might call that a sin issue, which would be any area that we deviate from what creation should look like, as far as God is concerned. And we understand that our thinking, our personality, our emotions, our spirituality is wrong. The first thing we must do is recognize it. Then we must take responsibility for it and repent and begin to make a decision that that cannot be part of our life anymore. And for example,
it sounds too simple.
Well, it sounds simple, but it was that simple to get sick. If it is a cause and effect issue, then this is an equation. If this element of our life produced this fruit, then to remove the cause would automatically open up the supernatural for God to heal.
Okay, let's get I think better with a concrete example.
Let's give an example of a lady that came to us with cancer of the face.
Okay.
She was bound with self-hatred and anger. And her, in fact, when she came to us, her eyes were dark with anger, and her face was covered with squamous cell cancer. And in the course of our teachings, she recognized that she had self-hatred. She recognized...
Explain to me what you mean by self-hatred.
Well, when she looked in the mirror, it did not tell her she was the fairest of them all. She was comparing herself to others, didn't like herself at all. And interestingly enough, where the disease came was where she looked, right in the mirror.
Now, could this disease have been treated by surgery or by medical science?
There is no cure. There is no cure for squamous cell cancer of the face.
Okay.
It's incurable. And in one of the teaching sessions, as God began to deal with her heart, that she recognized this was a spiritual defect, this was a sin issue, she began to take responsibility. Her eyes opened to the cause and effect, and she began to repent and say, I don't want this self-hatred part of my life. Before our eyes, the cancer fell off her face as she lined up with the invisible God. Then her face began to heal. And we have pictures of her 30 days later of what her face looks like now after the supernatural.
We're talking to Henry and Donna Wright today on It's You Day, dealing with spiritual roots to illnesses. And then there's got to be spiritual answers to disease as well. Stay with us here on It's You Day.
There's also, Donna, you were talking about a scripture that before the break about blessings and curses.
Okay.
In Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'm going to get my Bible here and read you something. Beginning in verse 26, 27, and 28. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a blank. Well,
a curse.
A blessing if, here's the conditions, a blessing if you do what? Obey the commandments of the Lord. Verse 28. And a blank, a curse, if you will not obey. So right here are the conditions of blessings and blanks, curses. It's clear.
Yep.
You can't get around this.
No,
I'm not making it up.
No,
I'm not stretching it. However, there are two words here. People don't realize that under the law of Moses, there was a provision for the salvation of Gentiles. If a Gentile would come in, be circumcised as a male, follow the commandments of the Torah,
they would benefit in all ways.
Yeah. And people don't realize that blessing that the age of grace and mercy is built into the law also. It was fulfilled through Christ, but the principles were taught, and they're taught right here. And I want to do a little word study with you. You'll find this interesting, and those of you listening will find this interesting. A blessing if you obey. I want to do a word study on the word if. Very few people have looked up the word if and done a word study.
Because we all understand
we
what
consider
it means.
It to be an insignificant word.
Yeah.
But the Bible says not one jot or tittle.
Yeah.
So we have removed the jot and tittle. And this is a jot and tittle.
Okay.
In fact, in the New Strong's Concordance, they don't even list the ifs anymore. So you can't do this word study because they consider the word if. But here in these two verses, the word the if in verse 27 is a different Hebrew word than the word if in verse 28.
Okay.
All with a different meaning. The word if in verse 27 is the Hebrew word Asher. Not the tribe Asher, but another Hebrew word named Asher, which is number 834 in the Strong's Concordance.
Okay.
Down here in verse 28, the if is the Hebrew word im, I-M, which is 518 in the Strong's Concordance. So I want to transliterate this, and you're going to see something very big. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey what God has said, if you become a doer of the word, the blessings will come upon you, and they shall come upon you very quickly. So the word Asher means very quickly. When you get down to the, if you do not obey God's word, then the curse, the word im indicates in the text that if you will not be a doer of the word, if you will not obey the commandments of God, the curse does not come quickly, but it shall surely come. And here we see, built right into the language, God's provision against our enemy. To give us that ability to understand, apply the principles, recognize our participation with sin, repent, and take responsibility. And right here, we see this powerful, powerful two forces against each other. And we're right in the middle. Now, it's not a place to be afraid of. It's a place of victory, or it's a place of bondage. And we make our victories, and we make our bondages, because we come into agreement with one principle or another and practice it as a way of life.
So what's really neat about that is the blessings come immediately when we're obedient.
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
I've seen tumors disappear like you'd snap your finger.
However, if we aren't obedient, then the curse will come, and it shall surely come. But God gives us this grace time to maybe hopefully get it right with Him.
Right, get it turned around so that the effect of it doesn't happen immediately. I mean,
it's not immediate.
There's time for you to change your mind, change your heart, and go the other
hopefully.
Way.
Hopefully.
And the difference is not so much that we are serving sin and falling in and out of it, but hating it, is do we habitually practice it as a way of life. Over in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, and listed a whole long list of things from adultery to right down to strife, drunkenness, it's all there. And he said, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that was a tough verse for me. So I looked up the word do in the Greek. And I found in Galatians alone were three different Greek words translated into English as do, all with different meanings. Here in Galatians 5, it literally says this about believers. Those that habitually practice such things as opposed to a single act. And many of your listeners out here, and you and me included, in working on our own salvation, we dip into stuff. But the issue is, that do we hate it or do we love it? And here comes the dividing line of mankind. Is the basis for entrance into heaven is not our sinlessness, but is our attitude towards it. See, that's what made King David a man after God's own heart. It was not that he didn't sin or participate with sin. Is that when confronted with the reality of it, he dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all God wants us to do to produce blessings. Is, do you understand how I think? And would you like to think like
right.
I think?
Right. So the idea is cooperate with God. Go his way.
Well,
move
yes.
his direction.
Let me say something to you. God and how he thinks and his nature is the best that a human being could ever be. You think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians. Love and temperance and long-suffering and patience and faith. These are attributes of God's incredible character and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says this in Galatians 5, against such there is no law. If we would allow the Holy Spirit to form the character of God within us, in those areas of our life in which we have been transformed and are serving God, not sin, we are immune to the devil and his kingdom because mm-hmm. there's no law that can defeat us. And we've never understood the benefits of righteousness like this before. We always think righteousness is legalism. We always think righteousness is something that's being shoved down our throat. No, righteousness represents the best that we could ever be. In fact, people that are unsaved, being gods themselves, are always trying to form the character of God in them from a humanistic standpoint. Love. How many unsaved people teach on love and peace and joy and happiness and health? But they're trying to form it mm-hmm. apart from God. And there's the difference. We're allowing God to form that within us because we love God. And we're called to his purposes.
Well, yeah, and the neat thing is his Holy Spirit is the one that forms it in
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the neatest thing. The very thing you would long to be, God says, well, I want to do it in you. I'll
absolutely.
Do it.
You know, Henry, at dinner last night, we were talking about environmental illness, EI, which seems to be almost epidemic, especially among a lot of Jewish people. And your comment was, that's easy. What's the root cause?
Oh, easy. Compromised immune system coming of a broken heart.
Hmm.
If all a broken heart is this. A person was damaged by somebody who was supposed to love them and didn't. And when you're not loved by somebody who's supposed to love you, fear comes. Because there is no fear in love.
Hmm.
Now, that compromises the immune system. We are internationally recognized in the healing and prevention of simple and complex allergies, as you know. And allergies are so easy to get rid of.
Now, the best thing for us to do right now is tell me a few people, real people, and what was wrong with them and what happened.
Well, first of all, we have a Karen, who is a gold medalist. We bumped into her in Dallas, Texas, actually Houston, when she was age 9, having epileptic seizures. She had grand mal seizures. She couldn't continue her training as a young girl to be a gold medalist because you can't go out and skate and have a seizure. Her parents brought her to a conference that I was doing in Houston. And actually, I'd had some success in the removal of epilepsy from people. This is a great story because I was busy in that conference and my wife Donna was there. And I said, you go deal with it. All you have to do is cast out a deaf and dumb spirit like Jesus and the disciples did.
That's all you have to do.
That's all you have to do in the name of Jesus. And my wife looked at me and said, me? I said, oh, you can do it. He'll work with you. And she went over and spoke to that deaf and dumb. That was an evil spirit, Sid, causing the seizure manifestation. She cast it out in the name of Yeshua. And that young girl never had another seizure. And now she is a gold medalist in America in figure skating.
That must excite you when you turn on your TV and you see her skating. Tell me someone else.
In Casper's case, he was a well-known rock musician in America. He played John Lennon and Beatlemania on Broadway. He was led to the Lord by Phil Kagi. But he had atrial fibrillation. He had allergies. He had asthma. His doctor brought him to me for prayer. I didn't get that far. He dropped dead with his doctor standing there in my church.
Now, that is not someone that has a passion for healing, something you look forward to.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's not good when people drop dead in your church.
No.
You can bring them dead already. But not when they're alive, okay? In this particular case, he had no more pulse. His doctor was there. And I cast a spirit of death out of him in the name of Jesus or Yeshua. And he came back to life. And when he got up off the floor, he not only was alive, he had no more asthma, he had no more allergies, he had no more atrial fibrillation, and this has been over 5 years, and he is well today.
Part of your story, your mother had an incurable...
There we go. Good. Well, folks, can we all stand? I want to begin to invite the Holy Spirit again tonight before we close. Some of you are at the bookstore, and that's going to be fine, the book table there. You're welcome to purchase books tonight, but please consider coming back tomorrow and inviting some friends as well. I want to begin to invite the Holy Spirit tonight for a couple of reasons. I want us to give him permission to search our heart and to search to see if we've allowed Satan a foothold in our lives, even to begin tonight as we're getting ready to come back tomorrow, to begin to just give us deep revelation or just insights on areas of in our lives that are preventing or hindering healing from happening. So if that means a dream tonight, if that means a word,
a memory coming to light that's hindering you, anything. We want to give permission, okay? Can you all agree? Okay. All right. That's the first thing we're going to do now is we're going to pray that God would have permission.
So Father, we invite you in this place. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts again tonight. Holy Spirit, reveal. We actually ask, Father, that you would begin to tenderly love our hearts mm-hmm. tonight. Mm-hmm. And Father, we give you permission. Mm-hmm. We give you permission to go deep into our hearts, to excavate, to start to dig up. And Father, we know that we're in your care. Mm-hmm. We know that you embrace us
yes.
and we're safe in this place. You're holding us.
Yes.
So with your love, as you wrap us in your arms, we're saying, we give you permission. I want you to just do that. Make a choice. Just agree.
Yes,
in fact,
Lord,
why don't we do that corporately? Why don't you just repeat after me? Father, we give you permission.
I give you permission.
To go into our heart.
To go into our hearts.
And to help us.
And to help me.
Help me. To see.
To see.
Reveal in me ways where I've given the enemy a foothold. I ask you Lord
to forgive me
and to heal my heart.
I just see an unraveling happening, and he just wants to unbind you and untie you, and much the same way that Lazarus was unbound when he was called out of the grave. And that's what Father wants to start doing in you tonight. But you have to be in agreement. You have to make those steps just like Lazarus did when he said, come forth, and he made those steps. And so for tonight, Lord, we agree, we come out. We want to come out of all that darkness. We want to come out of all that death. We want to come out of of all that depression. We want to come out of that dark place, Lord, and into the light and be unbound by your love and be unbound by the love of the community around us. So we give you permission, Lord, to reveal whatever needs to be revealed to unbind us.
As we were praying together tonight, I felt even folks who are watching on Revive TV, a flood. It was like a flood of revelation, a flood of the conviction of sin, really, in many ways, came upon those watching and in this place here tonight. And it was like lust. I was just hearing things like, oh, there's lust in your heart. Oh, there's an addiction.
Oh, I've used that as an escape in my life.
I'm holding on. I just felt when we were praying, just like a flood of revelation that the Father was just saying, look, I can see. Mm-hmm. And I also felt the word, some of us were, do I come out with it? Like there was a hiddenness in some. It was like, oh, I can remain, I can stay hidden.
No, he wants everything in the light. Everything.
So I think tonight, you know that you need to spend some time with God on this. But tonight and even tomorrow as you prepare your heart, you're going to bring stuff to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Father, I thank you and I ask you to hold each and every one here in your arms.
Mm-hmm.
In your arms of love.
Mm-hmm.
To speak to their heart. Now, there's another thing we wanted to do tonight. I know that there's many that have come, and we don't want you to just be left here waiting till tomorrow for a touch from the Lord. So I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who's come with any sickness. I mean, we've talked about the possibility of there being 2,000 diseases in this place. So it could be a lot of us here. But if you have an incurable disease, I want you to just raise your hand wherever you are.
Okay.
There's one, there's
a There's few quite a here. Few people who have their hands up.
I think we're just going to call some stuff out, but I want you to start to gather
around those.
Could you just keep your hand up high, please? These are incurable diseases. I see a whole bunch here. So we just want to put the emphasis on them tonight because they're coming...
Desperate.
They're coming desperate. So there's some desperate ones here tonight who...
There's still someone over here who has their hand... There's a couple of people without people around them over here.
There's one in the back there as well.
Yes. So please spread out. Make sure that everyone... There's a lady back in the back over here who doesn't have people around her.
So once we've got these folks covered, if there's anyone else who's sick here tonight in any manner, in any form, and wants prayer, just raise your hand. I just want us to be able to pray for folks tonight before we leave. And I want to encourage you after that, if you get a chance, to go to the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
There's another lady over here with her hand up. So there's folks and another one here. So why don't you, go ahead, Beza.
So Father, right now, we ask for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would reveal any of the basic issues that we talked about today about unforgiveness or just, memories that are blocking your healing, Lord, right now, or just that they haven't known that currency of love that's in the kingdom of God. Father, that you would lavish your love upon them and that they would know your forgiveness in life. And so right now to each one of you, we speak life to your spirits. We speak life and not death. We speak hope. We know that God is this incredible creative tornado that just wants to tear through your life and bring hope and restoration and life. And we agree with God and we agree with what the Bible says, that there is life and that this is the children's bread. We agree. We agree with that today.
There's another lady over here with her hand up, I think. If folks want to go around, Did I see? There's a lady over here. Tonight as well. I know I touched on this a little bit, but I just want us to surrender our wills tonight. Yeah. Give Him permission. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've covered that a little bit, but let me just pray that we would surrender ourselves, our will, and give Him permission to start to reveal again those footholds that we talked about. So, Father, I give you permission. Mm-hmm. You can start to do this in your heart. I give you permission tonight to heal my heart. I give you permission to go and reveal areas of sin, areas of compromise, areas that of pain. Father, I give you permission. I surrender my will, and I ask for your grace and your love to be poured out upon me. In Jesus' name. So we're just going to let this be a holy place, and there's still folks getting prayer. You know, ask them how they're doing. Talk to them. Check if there was a pain in their body. You know, just don't just diagnose the problem, but, you know, pray for them and to see how you're doing in the process. Pray again. Do that whole thing that we love to do in this place. Father, I thank you, and I want to bless everyone here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I ask that your Spirit would rest upon them, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of strength. Father, that you would bless each and every one, keep them safe on the road. And Father, bring them back safely again tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Have an amazing night. Love you guys. Good night, everyone, or good night, good morning, whatever time it is. Bless you, and thank you for tuning in on this Revive TV program tonight. Thank you.